speciale Manifesta 7. Voci, suoni, interviste e incontri della Biennale d'Arte Contemporanea Europea quest'anno in Italia. Tutti gli approfondimenti su radiopapesse.org. Questi film non sono prodotti per spiegare le altre culture, bensì per sottolineare la differenza tra noi e l'altro. Sono queste le parole con cui Riccardo Valentin e Boško Blagojevich ci introducono a Film Festival, una rassegna di video educativi prodotti per le scuole inglesi, americane e canadesi dagli anni 50 agli 80 e che vengono ora presentati a Manifesta. Ritratti etnografici che concorrono alla costruzione di un'identità forte, quella occidentale ma soprattutto di impronta americana, a scapito di quelle popolazioni e di quei paesi visti attraverso la lente di un velato razzismo. Le proiezioni di Film Festival vanno avanti quotidianamente fino al 2 novembre 2008 a Rovereto, alla Manifattura Tabacchi. Per saperne di più sulle singole proiezioni, ascoltate Film Festival Radio Program, in onda su Radio Papesse ogni mattina alle 11.
My name is Ricardo Valentin, and I'm having a project at Manifesta 7 in Rovereto, and I'm here to talk a little bit about the film festival.
My name is Boško Blagojevich. I am an artist and a writer. I was born in Belgrade, Yugoslavia. I live in New York City, and I am here at Manifesta working with Ricardo to develop the film festival radio program.
So the film festival start when I moved to New York. At the time I was like very interested about it, ethnographic films and documentaries, and especially because my previous formation was in anthropology. So after I finished anthropology, I applied to a master in fine arts in New York. I started to work with, I did some projects in 60 millimeters, like close to ethnographic films and like this kind of language. And after I decided, okay, now I need to buy a projector to see all these films. And when I was like looking for a projector, a friend of mine told me, I should go to eBay, and they have like a lot of this equipment there, because schools are putting, schools right now, they don't using this anymore. And you can buy all this equipment like very cheap. I went, I tried to looking on eBay about to find the projector, and I discovered all these amounts of films, and I said, this is like so interesting. And so I start to buy them as a curiosity, and because the titles like sometimes were kind of curious and was like interesting for me. So I start to buy all these films, and in some way I decide I would love to show this. And how am I going to sell? Maybe I'm going to do a screening. Maybe I'm going to try like how I'm going to put this up. And I came like with this idea to create a film festival, like a kind of ethnographic film festival, with all these films from different areas and different countries and about different communities, and so create a film festival for a period of 1-2 months, where every day we have like 3 or 4 films, and we have all the program, the posters, now we have a radio program, and this is how the film festival starts. All these films are educational films from US and United Kingdom. I start to feel like very curious about them, because they are, I think it's like impressive the amount of contents that this educational structure produce about different countries and different places, and it's a kind of encyclopedia of the world. So I try to collect like films about families in France and in Ghana, or like biographies, or like countries, and you start to do relationship between Soviet Union and like Dublin and all these things. And this is how I start this idea.
Well, I first met Ricardo at the New York incarnation of his film festival, which was at Eflux about, was that 2 years ago or one and a half years? Yeah. 1 year ago or so. And I was very interested in this model he was proposing. I mean, he was turning the gallery site into two things, really. It was, in one sense, a cinema, which is itself a kind of cultural form or a form of distributing culture that was kind of becoming eclipsed by sort of more individual, privatized cultural consumption. Like, people don't go to the cinema as much, at least in the United States, since, I mean, the 1930s, I think, cinema attendance peaked in relation to the population of the whole country. So he was proposing the cinema in the gallery site as a kind of rarefied cultural form. And he was also proposing the gallery site as a classroom, because all of these films, nearly all of them, were developed and produced with the intention of being shown to American school children in public schools, and a lot of them were and Canadian school children. They're mostly films with North American. And here we have a gallery site where no work is really exhibited, but you have a kind of free cinema and a kind of chance to watch these educational films that now seem very sort of, as Ricardo described them, curious, because they are so displaced from their time of production. And I was very interested in this project, and that's how our friendship started. And I wasn't involved with the project until recently, until certain conversations we've had this summer about what film festival means and kind of the future of film festival, as these films sort of are projected over and over again. They begin to decay, of course, and where film festival was going in the future. So we started with the idea, you know, people were always asking Ricardo about, you know, do these films have blurbs, or are there any sort of texts or scripts? Because people wanted to come see the films, but they didn't necessarily know what to expect. So we initially started with the idea of producing like a sort of catalog of short texts, very expository kind of descriptive texts. But what we decided to do was to develop something else, which is what the film festival radio program is.
This idea to develop this project was when Toby Meyer, that is one of the advisor curators of Adam Budak's show, he's developed this project, Auditorio Epod. And he contacted me, and also he contacted other artists, to looking like if you have like radio programs to include and at the radio. Initially, I said I don't have nothing. I never did any sound piece to be broadcast on radio. I was in Berlin when Toby contacted me, and Bosco was in Berlin with me. And I said maybe I could have like a kind of radio announcement and talk a little bit about the films. So I asked Bosco, hey Bosco, I have this project and maybe it could be interesting if you create like a kind of blurbs about these films. And initially we thought, yeah, let's, but Bosco never watched these films. So
well,
yeah,
some of them.
But this version now is...
Oh, this is a different version than New York.
This is the
yes,
first time
yes.
that I'm showing this version. Don't worry, because I watch all of them and I'm going to do the research for you. We talk a little bit about this. And in the beginning, we start to try to get like... Actually, we are talking about what's going on in the films. But in some way, we create a kind of a new perspective of these films. We create a kind of a parallel film festival. Because when we are talking about the film Spanish influence in the United States and... what is the blurb that Bosco did is not about the film at all. And I think this is quite interesting in this project, because all these films are about all these different places of the world, and they try to be like a kind of very ethical perspective of the world. But we cannot forget that they are done with this very specific point of view, like an American and English perspective. So it's like they are completely fake. Like the first film that I show in Manifesto, it's the film about the Po River Valley in Italy, this region. Come on, the people are like represent almost as primitive. The representation is completely, it's not the correct representation. And it's interesting because in one of the versions when I present for the first time in this work in Lisbon, this is interesting to understand how the film festival operates in relation to the audience. Like the first film I showed there was a film about Samoa, and the audience was like kind of happy and like, no, it's okay, it's Samoa, like this island's like very far from us and they are like represented as primitives and kind of a Disneyland thing. And the second film was about Portugal. And so when you have the second film and the audience realize that the Portuguese are represented the same way of the Samoa ones, they completely freak out. This is one of the things that I think it's interesting in step relationship between these films, because you, in some way, you remove like this frame. You are showing these films in a place that they are not to be shown. Like they must be shown just in, yeah, they were produced to show in schools in the US and United Kingdom. So since you start to, you bring this context for outside of this context, for this kind of, outside from this education, it's like very, very hard. Because this was the reason that I started to collect all of them, because in some way, some of the films are like completely
very viciously racist and ethnographic. I guess my interest in this project was that, unlike architecture, many other cultural forms don't have the same kind of longevity. And cinema is no exception, of course. Many cultural products are consumed, they're used, they're sold, they malfunction, they go out of style, and they're discarded, and they decay. What is interesting to me is the kind of marks they leave on culture that become part of history and historical narratives and kind of form the constellation of factors that affect social relationships between people and things like the distribution of land and wealth. So for social critique, the kind that Ricardo is talking about, to be possible at all, what I think the role of an artist who wants to do this kind of social critique or create an aesthetic experience that's socially critical is to make visible these marks that are left on culture and history. And I think that what we're trying to do is do this process by doing a kind of translation or transliteration of this film program into a kind of parallel text that will be broadcast over the radio, where it's not really just pure exposition that we're doing about the films and the film programs, but rather a different kind of thing.
The reaction that this work had on the audience, it was like, in some ways, like the reason that I start to collect them, because I was like completely surprised with some of these films and how they did, how they represent all these communities and countries and all these things, all this representation was like done in the past. So when you present this film, first I present this work in Portugal, in Lisbon, and of course the reaction of the audience was kind of, they were like very concerned and upset, and because in some way it's like you're calling them like a kind of inferior persons, like community. So in Lisbon was this, in São Paulo it happened the same thing, and I never thought this, but okay, this is going to be like the normal reaction of the audience. But it's very interesting because when I showed this in New York for the first time, the reaction was completely different, and the audience would be like, instead of being like concerned and like upset, it says, ah, this is like, I know this voice, and this voice is so familiar, the narrator. And sometimes I remember the titles in school. So it's not to put like the United States on the spot and like these guys are, no, it's like they are like the bad guys. No, it's how this education was shaped and how education is like, how you can understand like education in different contexts. It's quite interesting, like the, it seems like a new work when I'm presenting in the original, in the native context where the films were produced. Like in here, with people like, how it's possible and how it don't make any sense. And especially because some films are about the third world, and these films are like 30, 40 years ago, and today the third world completely changed. Like countries that used to be in the third world, they are no more in the third world. So they are like all this blurring of representation that seems like the world must be upside down. The people who are educated with these materials are the people who having now managing the world. Like this piece is about a real current perspective, and this is like the result we are living today. So of course today they're not showing these films, and I'm very happy because this, because don't make, but also education is very, the way you educate people, it could be important tool because you can shape, it's, it has a lot of power. And even today education is, has the same problem. You can like, this happens everywhere.
Even though these films are so old, and you know, a lot of them, you see them and you're like, well, but that's ridiculous, that's just not true. When you're hearing when you're sitting in a cinema in a dark room and you're watching these screens and there's one voice, just one single voice, and a series of images, it's very, very easy to be seduced by that voice. And I think that being in an art gallery, maybe the best places to look at art is not in an art gallery or an exhibition site, but just, let's just go with the fact that this is going to be in an art gallery. Seeing it in an art gallery, it could have some kind of effect where you're sort of reminded that, hey, I'm not supposed to be seduced by this voice. I'm not supposed to believe this. In fact, this is viciously racist or viciously horrible or just really just bad thinking in bad faith. And you know, and you sit there and you sort of, you're constantly challenged, especially if you watch a film for 40 minutes. It's so easy to just stop thinking and just watch and accept. So I think there's a kind of, there's a tension there.
The mechanism is the same because when you go like ethnographic museum and you see all these artifacts inside the showcase, why the artifacts are there, it's not to understand the other culture, it's like to understand like the difference between us and the others. And all these are about this construction of the other. All these films are made because it's very important to establish this difference between the audience, in this case like the students in schools, and these other people in the rest of the world. So the mechanism is the same, but instead of having like artifacts and like we having films. The film festival is composed by four versions, and each version has 70 films. And the reason that I did four versions of this work is because initially I did the first one and I tried to create a kind of platform with all these films and about different, create this representation, like global representation of the world. And it seems like the festival seems, yeah, this, they did like, they tried to cover every place of the world. They're trying to do like a very nice education. But since we have four versions, so it means like more than 300 films, you're going to see this education is completely, it's very complicated because you're going to see there are maybe 50 or 60 films about Mexico, another 40 films about Latin America, Middle East, Vietnam. All this happened like after the Second World War. So all these countries like in Asia, Thailand, like the Allies, all these things. And so all this education is works as a kind of, cannot call this propaganda, but in some way it's like very subtle propaganda you are doing in schools, and you are shaping all the mentality of the people in.
It's pretty direct. I mean, it's about a program of domination, and it's about a program of domination through representation.
I agree with both, because the concepts they use in the films, like the terminology, the, all these are like, even like in 40 or 50 years ago, was not, there no excuse to start showing the thing, because anthropology, they started to study this like 100 years ago. So there is no excuse to produce all these materials. It's like, why? And some of the films are not in like the best quality possible. Some coming like a scratch and having like this red tint. And this was also kind of prove like the use of them in schools.
Yeah, that's what was interesting to me too, is because as I mentioned earlier, I mean the films are decaying, and this is like a problem for cinema, and this is like a very hot topic in like cinema studies right now, and it has been for many years, which is the preservation of films, which is very, very expensive. You know, you can transfer a film to video and kind of calcify it in a digital format, but this is not ideal. You know, for film to be preserved, it needs to be refrigerated. You know, master copies need to be made, scratches and things need to be fixed. So in a sense, you know, I don't know how long Film Festival will be around or how long it can be around. I hope it's around for a long time, but in our transliteration to this other text form, in a way, we're creating a sort of second life to this thing, which is not for the sake of the thing itself, but like I said, sort of try to make visible these markers that are left on, these marks that are left on culture by these things like these pedagogic, institutional, and often state-funded films. However rigorous or not rigorous our approach, I mean, the fact that I hadn't watched all the film programs before I'd started writing about them isn't so important to me. What's more important is generating this other thing and making, you know, using our practice in this particular instance as a kind of model for cultural transliteration that's more than just preserving culture or recreating culture or writing about culture, but really creating a kind of parallel structure or a parallel narrative to complement and trouble the original.